Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by California College of the Arts, offering extension courses focused on design, fine arts, and digital technology. Campuses in Rock Ridge, Oakland, and Potrero Hill in San Francisco. cca.edu/extension.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. 8 years ago, Los Angeles City voters elected their first Latino mayor in modern history. Tomorrow, L.A. voters will make history again, either electing the first woman, City Controller Wendy Gruhl, or the first Jew, City Councilman Eric Garcetti. The campaign itself will make history as the most expensive so far, but as Frank Stoltz of KPCC reports, neither candidate has really captured the imagination of the electorate.
Oh, you guys look great today. How old are you?
On a recent hot spring day, Wendy Gruhl presses the flesh outside Grant AME Church in Watts.
Hi, Michelle. How are you? Nice to meet you, too.
Gruhl is white, but she has deep roots in the African-American community here. One of her first jobs in politics was as an aide to the city's first black mayor, Tom Bradley. Since then, she's organized political fundraisers for DreamWorks executives like Jeffrey Katzenberg, served as a city councilwoman from the San Fernando Valley, and is now the city controller. Many in L.A.'s political establishment endorse her for mayor, as she pointed out in a recent debate.
I am glad that I have both business and labor support. I have the Chamber of Commerce, the Valley Industry Commerce Association. I'm the person that's going to be able to solve the problems in L.A. by bringing people together.
One of Gruhl's TV ads shows Democratic Senator Barbara Boxer, former Republican Mayor Richard Reardon, and Magic Johnson endorsing her. Another features President Clinton. Gruhl worked in Clinton's Department of Housing and Urban Development.
You want somebody who hit it out of the park every time she had a job by getting something done.
But all this political juice has so far come up short for Gruhl. One big reason, city labor unions have spent big on her campaign, raising suspicions among voters that she'd be unable to stand up to them as L.A. faces ongoing budget deficits. That's been one of the main arguments by her opponent, City Councilman Eric Garcetti.
I'm not beholden. I don't have $3 million from a super PAC led by the DWP union supporting my campaign. At the same time, I don't have the Chamber of Commerce, and that's okay. Because what it means is I can be a mayor that is independent and will do the right thing for the residents of Los Angeles.
Garcetti's resume has captured the imagination of many voters. He is half Mexican, half Jewish, with an Italian last name. At 42, he is a decade younger than Gruhl, a Rhodes Scholar who attended Oxford, a jazz pianist, and a world traveler who says he's been to 82 countries. Garcetti's father served as L.A. County District Attorney. For the past dozen years, he has represented Hollywood on the city council, half of those as city council president. But when it comes to the issues, jobs, traffic, public education, the two Democrats differ little in this nonpartisan race. City labor unions say they can't trust Garcetti because he voted for layoffs and pension cuts during a budget crisis. But he's also supported a living wage ordinance and limits on non-union big box stores like Walmart, says UCLA Labor Center Director Kent Wong.
Both Wendy Gruhl and Eric Garcetti have been friends of labor here in Los Angeles. You have two pro-labor Democratic candidates who are running for mayor.
As Garcetti and Gruhl crisscrossed L.A. in search of support in the final days of the campaign, many voters struggled to decide.
I think both of them are pretty good candidates. It's like a toss-up.
Bonnie Douglas attended a recent candidates forum. She said she's trying to ignore some of the television ads.
It's just who's going to be nastier than the other. I just hate that. I hate that in politics.
Voters like Mary Lee said they like Garcetti's record of economic development in his Hollywood Council district, but also appreciate Gruhl's fiscal watchdog work as city controller. Then there's the gender question.
As a woman, I have to say, a lot of times women get the job done.
But she's undecided. The idea of electing the first female mayor weighs on the mind of Isaac Robinson, too.
Sometimes I feel that we need a woman to take over the city because our government is lacking in balance, I find.
But he thinks Garcetti is more eloquent.
When I listen to him talk, he would be the better choice.
He's undecided. The latest poll by USC and the Los Angeles Times gave Garcetti a 7-point lead, with 11% of likely voters undecided. But it also found 20% of the people who backed one of the candidates were willing to change their mind. The primary election attracted just 21% of registered voters. Political analysts don't expect many more to show up for two candidates who've done little to excite voters. For the California Report, I'm Frank Stoltz in Los Angeles.
What do you think? What does it take these days to power past voter apathy in local elections? Continue the conversation on our Facebook page or email us at calreport@kqed.org. Voters in the Central Valley head to the polls tomorrow for a special election after Michael Rubio left his state Senate seat suddenly to work for Chevron. His district is up for grabs. The California Report's Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca has more.
State Senate District 16 stretches from Bakersfield to Fresno, with lots of farm country in between. Even though more than half its voters are Democrats, Republican farmer Andy Vidak is banking on low voter turnout. He's also got name recognition from when he tried for a seat in Congress and won hearty support among rural conservatives.
I'm a farmer and a small businessman. For far too long, we've been left behind by Sacramento politicians. And that's why our unemployment rate is 50% higher than the state average.
There are three Democrats running in the primary, but party leaders are backing Leticia Perez, a Kern County supervisor who's relatively unknown outside of Bakersfield. And here's one of her campaign ads.
Students working their way through school. Moms working part-time jobs. Farm workers harvesting our food. Gas, rent, tuition, they all go up. The minimum wage has to go up, too.
David Schechter chairs the Department of Political Science at Fresno State. He says California's Democratic and Republican strategists don't normally get this kind of chance to see how they're doing in between regularly scheduled elections.
But now they have this tiny race in a relatively conservative part of the state, and they can see whether or not the Democratic message that Governor Brown has been touting is working, whether or not the Republican opposition message is working. So it gives us a little snapshot in an area that should go conservative, but for the most part has this high Democratic registration because of Latino voters.
This fight could go on for a while. One candidate needs to win at least 50% of the vote to avoid a runoff in July. And whoever wins this year will have to defend their seat all over again next year with the regular election cycle in a Senate district defined by newly redrawn boundaries. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
That's the California Report for Monday, May 20th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical support to public agencies and private companies. URS.com. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And the California Teachers Association, celebrating 150 years of advocating for all students, educators, and California's public schools and colleges.